desire and interest in your prayers this evening. It's not as easy as it may look sometimes to get up and bring the word of the Lord. And we sang a song that said, I cannot find my way without Him. And I want you to know tonight that that's how I feel. I feel very, very dependent on the word of the Lord to be able to be brought through an empty vessel. And I want to be empty before the Lord, and that His Spirit would be willing to have His way. So please pray for the services. I have a message tonight that I feel like is a simple message in a lot of ways. And I don't know if it's for everyone. I feel like it's for me. But maybe it's just for one other person. I don't know. But may the Lord bless it as He sees fit. Have you ever spent time on something that in the end really didn't matter? Have you ever given a whole lot of energy into something and you had your mind, it was almost like you had blinders on except for what you were focused on, and you were giving it your all only to find out in the end that what you just got finished doing really didn't matter a whole lot? You missed it. Completely missed it. And it was avoidable. An avoidable error. You could have avoided it. I remember one time, I think I was in a seminar. I don't think it was in school. And they passed out a test to take. And so the test came and put it down in front of me. And the proctor said, now put your pencils down. Don't start till I tell you to start. I think it was a time test. And they said, all right, now read the directions at the top before you get going. Make sure you read them all. Read all the questions before you start. And all right, go. So we flipped over our papers, whole classroom of us, and boy, I got after it. And in my zeal, I was ready to get things done. And I read the first question, and I know the answer to that, and marked the answer down. I got down to the next one, and maybe a little more complicated, but I got that figured out, got that down. And pretty soon there were questions like, you know, if Dan ran a mile in 2 minutes and Sally ran it in half the time, then how fast did she run it if X, Y, and Z? And so, well, I think I can figure that out. And so I'm writing it down. And so I start working through, and I'm focused. I'm going after it. And something caused me to look up and look around. And there were a lot of other people that were at it too. But there were a few people that had just a little bit of a smug smile on their face. And it caused a red flag to raise that something wasn't as it appeared to be. And I got this feeling in the bottom of my stomach that something was wrong. And I looked a little bit closer, and all the way down at the bottom it says, now that you've read all the questions, put your pencil down. Don't work any of them. Wait until further instruction. And so, you know, embarrassed and sheepishly, I try to slip my pencil down, hoping I'm not the last one that figured that out, and waited for further instruction. Totally avoidable, written in the instructions. But I thought I knew what I was doing and had the answer, and I was after it. But you know, it gets more serious than that. And we read about a story in the Old Testament where King Saul was told, I want you to go destroy the Amalekites completely, everything. Don't bring anything back. Destroy the good, the bad, everything. And so they got over there and they destroyed the Amalekites, but they saw some good things. And they brought them back with them. And Samuel, the next day, he began to approach King Saul. And Saul, he didn't even wait for Samuel, at least the way it was written. He didn't even wait for Samuel to ask any questions. Hello, man of God, today I have done exactly what I was supposed to do according to the word of the Lord. And Samuel said, yeah, but I hear something over there. What is the bleating of the sheep mean? And what's the lowing of the oxen? What is that all about? What's that mean? Well, the people. You know, he started off with the people. Blamed it on the people. Although he was king. The people, well, they decided that it would be good to bring the best because we're going to offer it as a sacrifice to God. I mean, shouldn't that be a good thing to do? Offer sacrifice to God? I mean, how much better does it get than that? So we brought the good things to offer as a sacrifice to God. And Samuel said, Saul, and if you'll allow me just a little bit of liberty here, this is how I think about it. He did say, Saul, when you were little in your own sight, God made you king of Israel. And this is my part now. This is my thinking. Saul, when you realized and recognized your great need of God, when you realized you didn't have all the answers, when you realized that you were little in the scheme of things, and as right as you thought you were, you still recognize that the responsibility that I have ahead of me is bigger than I am, and I need help. Saul, when you had that condition of heart, the Lord saw that and honored that and made you king. But now, you lost it. You decided on your own against the word of the Lord, even though he said, don't do that. You looked at it and decided, for all of the reasons that you had, it'll be good. Just go ahead and bring this stuff back. And Samuel said, from that day on, he no longer was going to go before Saul. And it didn't have a very pleasant end. We always have reasons. Do you know that you can come up with good reasons for every bad idea? We always have reasons. Everybody does. Reasons and opinions on why we should do all of these things that may be exactly the wrong thing to do. The scripture says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man. But the end thereof, it said, are the ways of death. And it is the way that the multitudes are traveling all around us today in this world. It's almost intoxicated with it. And it's promoted and it's marketed. Do what you want. Go after your heart. Your mind goes after it. It's yours. Just give it your all. It's your day. It's your life. You only have one life. Go get it. And we can get in our minds because part of it is we're human too. And we think we're so right sometimes that we put our heads down and we doggedly push forward in the midst of all of the red lights that are flashing. All of the cautionary words of truth that have been given to us. And we roll right over the top of them just like I did. Because I thought I knew all the answers. Saul thought, oh, this would be a good thing. We'll sacrifice. That sounds like a good reason. And go right over the top of what the word of the Lord says. And the end is not good. I don't want a bad end. Does anybody here want a bad end? Who here wants to end bad? Who here wants an inscription on your gravestone that says, they ended in a very bad state, period. That's all. None of us want that. All of us want to end well, and so does the Lord. The Lord wants us to end well, too. He thinks good things about us. He wants every person to come to repentance and be able to make it into heaven. So when we begin to think about that, well, if my makeup is that I'm predispositioned almost to just want my way and go after it until, you know, something pretty dramatic stops me. Maybe avoidable abject failure that really gets me into trouble and a lot of other people. Then what can I do to make sure that that doesn't happen? And I've given that some thought. And to me, and the way I've been inspired this evening is that it is simply this. And that is, pursue what matters. make that the priority first. Pursue what matters. Not so much what everybody else says matters. No. But when this vapor of life is over with, and it is going to finish a whole lot sooner than probably all of us think. It's passing quickly. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. And we are going to face God quickly. The scripture says, behold, I come quickly. And I believe that every person in here at the end is going to be able to raise their hand and say, truly, the Lord came quickly. He came quickly. And so if that's the case, and it is, and I want to end well, then when this vapor of life that's just passing is over, I want to stand before God and I want to have pursued what matters to God. Amen. That's what I want to pursue. It's a simple message. Pursue and make a priority. Amen. Of what matters. Several weeks ago or a couple weeks ago, I was inspired with a message entitled it, Gone Fishing. Have you ever seen that before? It's almost a decoration. They put it up in houses and restaurants, and that's all it says, Gone Fishing. And it says so much and so little with two words. You can make up whatever you want about Gone Fishing, but what it doesn't say is, why did you go? Yeah. Where did you go? Yeah. What is it that you're fishing for? Did you even go to fish? Or did you just want to be gone? You know, you could just as well put a sign up that says, gone pursuing. And just gone pursuing. What are you pursuing? Did you know that's important tonight for us to know what it is we're pursuing? Because every one of us tonight, we are on a road that goes somewhere. It goes somewhere. It's going to end somewhere. We don't get to just travel, just however, and then at the very end of the way, we just transport ourselves wherever it is that we want to end up. No, we're on a road that's going somewhere. And it's going to mean something to be deliberate and intentional about where it is that we want to go. So that we can pursue what matters. Because there's so much that doesn't matter. Are you pursuing what matters tonight? Are you sure? Amen. Based on what? And I'm not trying to be difficult. But life can be difficult. And if I get it wrong, I've got an eternity ahead of me separated from Christ. And there isn't anything good about that. So I want to get it right. I'd like to turn to the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And we'll read the 13th and 14th verse, but just as a background, I'm not positive who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Maybe it was Solomon, maybe it was somebody else, but when you read this book, this was a man who was trying to figure out what life was all about. That's right. Don't we do that at some point? Don't we ask ourselves, what is this all about? What is my place? How can I find fulfillment in life? Where's the value at? What can I pursue so that when I get my hands around it, I say, yes, that's it. I got it. I found it. You ever seen that bumper sticker that says, I found it? I mean, that used to be an old one. Maybe they don't have that anymore. Lady in our church had that on the back of her little Volkswagen Rabbit. I found it. As a little kid, you wonder, well, what'd you find? Your purse? But when I got older, I started to understand what she was talking about. It didn't need a lot of explanation. I found it. I found what matters. And the preacher, the individual that wrote this was looking for what mattered. And they had the resources to explore all these things. And so they looked. Is it in laughter? Is it just having a good time? Is it in wealth? It said that they built things, had pools of water and gardens, and they got themselves singers, and then went after wisdom, and on and on and on and on. Everything you could think of, they had the wherewithal to go explore these things. And it said anything that he wanted his eyes to look at, he looked at. Just whatever appeals to the flesh, try it out. And over, he kept saying, he found out, well, that's vanity and vexation of spirit. That's not worth a whole lot. Must be something else. So they moved on to something else. And that's what people are doing today, all around us. Move from one thing to the other, trying to find it. The conclusion is wrapped up in two verses. After all this time, after all the looking, wrapped it up in two short verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the conclusion. Looked at it all, lived it all, didn't just research it, lived it. And this is the conclusion. And the Lord saw fit to have these verses put in the Bible for our reading.
Amen.
So if we have ears to hear tonight, let's hear what the Scripture has to say to us. Let us hear the conclusion, the summary, the conclusion, the final verdict of the whole matter, not a part of the matter, the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God, not man, but God, will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Summed up what is important and why it's important. What is important? Above everything else, fear God, respect Him, honor Him, keep His commandments, believe into His way so that you pattern your life after it. Why? Because there's consequences to how we live our lives. There just is. It's a law of God. There's real life consequences to the decisions that we make in life. And we can agree or disagree on this. We can have all of our reasons why we want to live, how we want to live. We can overwhelm other people that bring the Word of God before us and say, well, the Word of God says this. And with our loud voice and persuasion, some are able to just kind of overwhelm others. But the truth quietly stands on its own. And in the end, there won't be any loud voices trying to overwhelm the voice of God. Like, I told you. It was preached in your hearing. You read it. I told you that the priority was that above all else, that you fear God, that you give yourself to living for Him above all other things, because there's consequences to it. And everything that you do in life, even if nobody at church knows about it, with every secret thing, it's going to be brought into judgment. Whatever's going on in your bedroom with the door closed, God sees and He knows, and it's cataloged. Whatever you're doing when you're away, God sees it. He knows there's consequences for it. And it's not always bad. Sometimes we always focus on the bad things. There's people that shut their door and in their darkness fall on their knees and pray to God. And they implore God's Spirit to fall upon and help us. And then they come and they're the quiet ones at church and no one hears anything out of them. But they're the ones in the back corner with the door shut and the light off, begging God to come down and have mercy. God sees all of these things. And all of these things, it says, are going to be brought into judgment. I'd like to hold that thought for a minute, and I'd like to add this. Here's a secret that the world misses. I believe that, and from experience, my testimony is that the Lord desires that we have the best of both lives. I believe that. It doesn't mean that the way of the Christian is always easy, but it's the best. It's the best of both lives. It's not like the Lord saying, you put in your time right now, pal. We're going to cause you to suffer. You're going to take your stripes now, and then you can have heaven later. You can't earn your way into heaven. It's not about, we're going to make it hard for you now so that I have to give you heaven when the end of time comes. The Lord wants the best for us now as well as in the end. I'm convinced of that. What a lie of the enemy to tell us otherwise. The enemy is a liar, he's a conniver, and he's a thief. That's exactly what he is. And if I could speak to the young men this morning or this evening just for a couple moments. We have a number of young men here. I feel like that I can relate to you probably maybe more than you think I can. When I say young, I'm talking about teenagers, 20s. I like things that young men like too. I liked them and I still like them. If it has anything to do with the ball, I like it. Football, basketball, baseball, tennis, whatever it is, I like it. I like being outdoors. If I have the option to be strong or weak, I'd rather be strong. I would rather be successful than a failure. I would rather have purpose in my life rather than to have no purpose. I would rather have fulfillment and be able to dream and have a vision and be able to go after something than to be pulled back and say, no, you just fall in line right here. Just take your place. And yet I feel like sometimes that the enemy tries to tell us as young men that, listen, if you get too close to God and you go all in for Him, a lot of these dreams you have and the purpose you have and the things you want to put your hand to, you can forget about that. You're just going to fall in line and you're going to be straightened up and you'll be told what you need to do. And you won't be able to experience any of those things that you enjoy. That's a lie of the devil. God made men like He made men for a reason. He likes us to play ball, I think. He put it in men to be strong. He put it in men to have a desire to be a provider. He made men, men. And He's not trying to strip us of that, young men. Here's the thing. He just wants to go with you. He is a big, strong, powerful, almighty God that is a man and God of purpose and creation, and no one can overcome Him, and He's the God I want on my side. There is nothing that you are giving up by saying, well, I want to go my own way a while because the God thing, well, I'm not sure where that's going to take me. I'll tell you where it's going to take you if you don't have Him. It's going to take you into a lot of trouble. And God, He just wants to go with you and say, Rod, I know you like ball. You can do this, but you know what? You probably shouldn't cross this line over here because that could get you into trouble. And this thing over here, you have purpose, you have a vision, you want to go after stuff, that's good. But you know what? Right over here, ease back just a little bit. Because that right there could get you into trouble. But go, I want to be with you. I want to be your strength. That's God. He cares about us. See, the thing is, God cares more about how the story ends than how the paragraph ends. And sometimes we see something, we're ready to go see and conquer, and we did it. And the Lord's saying, yeah, but you just set yourself up for a lot of painful things tomorrow. And I want to save you from that. So if you'll let me go with you, I will let you enjoy the things of life to the extent that they're good for you so that you can end well. Young men tonight, be encouraged to ask God to go with you. Amen. Make it your purpose. Lord, fill me with your Spirit and help me be a man of God. Amen. And you won't be disappointed. That's my testimony tonight. And to all, Jesus said, I am come that ye might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. not just at the end of life. He came that we might have abundant life in the here and now. And He means it. Amen. And what matters at the end matters now too. Do you want soul rest? I do. You ever experienced it when you don't have soul rest and you feel guilty? How do you like want to go through life like that? Not me. I want soul rest. I want to be able to live life at rest in my soul with God. Do you want help in your marriage? Do you want help on the job? Do you want help in the home? Help in the things that you put your hand to, that God has put us in this world. And He's given us talents and He's given us members as instruments. And He wants us to go and He wants us to use them and go out where we're in the world. And we do a lot of these things, but we're not of the world. We are set apart unto God. And He protects us from those things that would do us harm. Does that mean He's going to take us away from all tribulation? No, we talked about that the other day. But He will spare us from avoidable tribulation. Avoidable tribulation. The Lord wants to spare us from those things. I recall a story in the 4th chapter of John when the Samaritan woman came and Jesus met her at the well. And no doubt she had dreams too. The Samaritan woman, she had dreams. She wanted fulfillment in relationships. She wanted to be cared for. She wanted to care for somebody. She was no doubt a normal person that had desires like we all have. And she was trying so hard to find it, but she just wasn't able to get her hands around it. And after 5 husbands and yet another empty pot of water, she arrived again to try to fill it up the same way that she'd always tried to fill it up before to satisfy something. Oh, but that day, the Master showed up. Jesus Christ showed up because He loved her, because He cared, because He looked down in mercy upon her. He didn't say, "Oh, you vile, sinful woman, I came to be with those that have everything in order." Jesus Christ came to get a hold of those that have out of order lives. He came to raise up those that are lame, that are in trouble, that are without purpose, that are hurting, that have run into a wall. Jesus Christ came for you. And that's where this woman was that day. And there was Jesus with a smile, with love, waiting for her. And she came and He said, "Listen, I want to tell you something. If you continue to draw water from that well over there, and you continue to look for the same things that you've always looked for, you're going to end up with the same result that you've always experienced. Thirst. Dissatisfaction. Unhappiness, a hole in your heart." But He told her, He said, "If you will, I have water to give you that satisfies. I have something to give you that you will thirst no more. You will be able to put a sticker on your water pot that says, 'I found it.'" Found what? "I found it. I'm satisfied. I've got it." And I wonder tonight, is there anyone here that's thirsting? Is there anyone here that feels empty? Maybe without purpose. Maybe you feel like the Samaritan woman who tried and failed and tried and failed. That's two. Tried and failed. And tried and failed and tried and failed again. And you get to the point, it's like, "Yeah, I hear what you're saying, preacher, but you don't understand me. You don't understand Jesus, if that's what you think." Because that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to give us a gift that we didn't earn. He came to pick us up out of a pit that we can't pick ourselves up out of. He came to bring us life. And He invites us to come and make matter what matters. That is what He has for us. He has a peace that passes all understanding. And in the 14th chapter of John, it says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He'll teach you all things. He'll be your teacher. He'll bring things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. He'll be your God, and you can be His people. He'll lead you through the tough places. Peace I bring unto you. Peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. I bring you a peace that you have not experienced before. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That is what Jesus Christ came to bring to us.
Amen.
In life. So what is it that matters? Pursue what matters. What is it that matters then? Above all else, the Lord never intended for it to be complicated. It's a simple message that brings deliverance. It is a simple solution for complex problems. I like those the best. Are you saved tonight? Jesus Christ came to forgive us of our sins. And all He asks is that we recognize, "Lord, I've done wrong. Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I haven't been what I should be." And with as much humility as we can offer up to the Lord in our prayer, "Lord, would you forgive me?" And the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank the Lord. If you're not saved tonight, pursue what matters and get saved. And the second thing that He offers us is His Spirit. Once He saves us and He cleanses us and He forgives us, then He invites us, "If you will open up your heart's door, I will come into your heart. And I would like to live within you so that I can be your comforter and your teacher and your guide. I'd like to help navigate life for you."
That's right.
Are you filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? The Lord wants us, yes, to get saved and have our sins forgiven, but He doesn't want us to then continue to go on our own way, thinking the same way we always thought. That's what gets us in trouble. That's what gets us looking down and saying, "Oh, I know the answer to that, check. Oh, I got the answer to that, check." And the Lord's saying, "Oh, if you would just listen to me, you didn't have to do that.
That's true.
I have a better way for you. I can save you some sweat and tears and blood."
Amen.
Yes. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit tonight? The Lord wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit tonight. It's not complicated. It's laying your way down. It's emptying out ourselves of ourselves and saying, "Lord, I submit to Your will. Lord, would You fill me?" And thirdly, the Lord wants us to then go and do what He has given us to do. Those things that He has given within our heart to understand. He's not asking us to solve all the problems that we don't know anything about. He's not asking us to look 2 months forward and say, "Well, what am I going to do with that?" And somehow get ourselves saved and filled with the Holy Spirit before we ever get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I feel like that's what sometimes people do. They hold back because they look forward and say, "Well, I don't know what I'm going to do about that. When I get all that figured out and when I can get that taken care of, then maybe I can get saved." Jesus Christ wants to help take care of that for you.
Amen.
He wants to help give you wisdom. He wants to help open and close doors in your life. But first things first, get saved. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. And then don't allow the enemy to confuse and complicate today.
Amen.
The Lord's just saying, "Do what you know to do that is right before me. Just be faithful in those things. I will lead you into those other things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Make that a priority. And all these other things I'll add unto you."
That's
And it's not just spiritual things, folks. Young men, young women. The Lord knows we have lives. He knows we have desires of our heart. He put it within us. He's saying, look, let me go with you. Let me hold your hand. I want to help you through those times. And he's faithful and just to fulfill the promises that he's given. King Cyrus of Persia, the Lord moved upon his heart and he made a proclamation to those that he had had in captivity. And he said, who is there among you of all his people willing to go and help rebuild the temple in Jerusalem? And I am inspired tonight and challenged to deliver this message tonight. Who among us tonight is willing to receive the Holy Spirit and allow yourselves to be the temple of the living God? The temple is not in Jerusalem. The scripture says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. How much better does it get than that? Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is willing to dwell in my life? Yes. Whosoever will. Whosoever is willing to trust Him, to have faith in Him, to open up your hearts that the Lord can come in and be able to work those complicated situations out in your life. Is there self-denial? Are there some crosses? Yes, but he is looking for an expected good end to your story. He's not looking for just an easy paragraph. Let's just finish this chapter in a very good way. The Lord is going to do what is best for us overall, and we have to trust him with that when we don't see how it possibly could be for our good. I want to be planted by the rivers of water. I want there to be fruit that comes in season. I want to have a sweet and close relationship with Jesus Christ where we can share with each other all of the things that I face in life. Because as we heard yesterday, what matters to you matters to the Master.
That's right.
We live in a time in a society where it is full of exalted high places that are not of God.
That's true.
Self being right there at the top. And we are so pulled and so influenced by so many things to the exclusion of being influenced and moved in our spirits by the Spirit of God. And the result of that is that we thirst. Because where the Spirit of God is absent, famine is present. And when famine is present, it leads to death if not attended to. And that's not what the Lord wants. I believe tonight that the Lord is passing by our way tonight, in his mercy. He hasn't called time yet for us because we're here. He's extending yet another opportunity. And he's passing by our way and he's saying, come, follow me. Let me come in to your life. John 7 and 37, if any man thirst. Are you thirsty tonight? Are you in trouble? Are you empty? Are you without purpose? You're not sure which way you're supposed to turn. Do you feel like that your life is a Rubik's Cube that has just absolutely turned every which direction with no rhyme, reason, or pattern and no solution in place? Jesus invites us to come. If you thirst, come. Drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Not just a checklist. Okay, well, I went to church last night and I signed a card and they said I was saved. No, Jesus Christ has an experience for us where out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. From the innermost part of our being, the Lord wants to do a work for us that is real and it's alive and it means something. What are we pursuing tonight? Pursue what matters.
That's right.
If you're not sure what you're pursuing, If you're not comfortable with what you're pursuing, Jesus Christ is inviting us to come. Let's not waste our time and our life aimlessly pursuing those things that have no track record of success at all. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Dear God, keep His commandments. That He has revealed to you. That He hasn't, He'll show you in due time. Don't allow that to deter you. You can do what He has shown you to do right. All of us can do that. For that is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The Lord will gently lead us by His hand if we'll let Him. Let's come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.